How bad is bullying in the United States? These days, it seems like we're living in bully nation, doesn't it? Mind you, I'm from Canada, but still, I don't want to say that America has more bullying per capita than any other country, because if I did say that, a gang of street toughs would beat the hell out of me. But bullying is out of control. There's no question about it. Maybe one of the reasons is we're not thinking about bullying the right way. That's what Charles Derber says. Derber's a sociology professor at Boston College. He's also the co-author, along with Yale McGrath, of a book called Bully Nation: How the American Establishment Creates a Bullying Society. Steve Paulson talked with Derber.
So this is not just a matter of personal psychology. I mean, you're bringing sociology in here. In fact, you cite the great sociologist C. Wright Mills, who had this idea of the sociological imagination.
Right. So Mills meant that in the United States, we tend to view all problems as personal, and they can be solved by dealing with the individual psychology and psychological aberrations or problems that manifest in individuals carrying out the behavior. Our argument is, and this is the argument of Mills, Mills said that private problems are public issues. And what he meant by that is that the psychology may be real, but it grows out of structural, institutional realities that define the way the larger society operates and out of institutions. So we think that large corporations, which are major institutions, are routinely bullying their workers and their competitors and their consumers. We think that large institutions like the military are, you know, deeply involved in institutional bullying in obvious ways. You know, bigger countries bully smaller countries with repeated threats of humiliating, insulting, attacking them if they don't comply with their wishes and recognize the authority of the more powerful country. And obviously, in military training, recruits starting from boot camp are subjected to rituals of humiliation and control, which kind of instill a psychology of, or a set of values or culture of bullying as sort of just part of military culture.
One of the kinds of structural bullying you talk about is what you call capital bullying. Can you explain what this is?
Yeah, it's really important because we live in a capitalist society, and that's just a play on the idea of capitalism. And this goes back to very basic ideas about how our economic system operates, which is that, one, it's a system in which most people do not have the resources, meaning land, money, whatever, to provide for themselves without selling them their services on the labor market. It's an employment at will system, meaning you have no security. I mean, you get hired and fired in a pretty random way. So the most obvious form of bullying that's sort of baked into our capitalist economic system is that most workers are vulnerable as contingent workers, temps, people who don't have much job security, people who can be fired, to this constant dread and anxiety that they have to be super careful not to alienate people with the authority to let them go, fire them, you know, reduce their pay and benefits and so forth. That structural reality is kind of part of the DNA of capitalism. It's always been true. There are two things that are making it worse today in some ways. One is globalization gives corporations greater exit power.
Meaning they can close down the shop, you know, in this country,
yes,
and go somewhere,
yes,
abroad.
And this is one of the things driving the elections right now. Workers are feeling much more vulnerable because globalization, and that's where I think Trump has gotten a lot of traction. He's playing off the way in which corporations are fashioning trade rules and agreements through the World Trade Organization, which is largely a capital body that is controlled by large corporations.
Right. And one way this gets played out is, you know, a company says, you know, it says to a local government, if you don't give me certain, let's say, tax concessions, then I'm going to leave.
Precisely. I mean, the whole globalization field, I believe that I've written other books on globalization and capitalism, and I believe globalization has been driven to a large measure in the United States by, you know, leaders of corporate America who felt that over the New Deal era, which lasted, you know, through much of the mid-20th century up to Reagan, workers had simply developed too much countervailing power through New Deal kinds of government support of labor and regulations and so forth. And they said, we can make a lot more money and get a lot more docile labor force if we essentially basically disinvest in the United States and create global markets for ourselves where we're not dependent, global labor markets, where we're not dependent on American workers as much.
So if bullying then is baked into the capitalist system, as you say, does that mean that countries that are maybe a little more socialist or at least, you know, on the social welfare spectrum, you know, Scandinavian countries like Denmark and Sweden, do they have less bullying?
Well, that's precisely the case. And if you look at European countries where, for at least through much of the 20th century, you had strong labor parties, you had countrywide unions, the power inequalities were much less. And we have some data. They're not great because they focus just on pretty much on kids and schoolyard bullying, but the lowest bullying rates do tend to be in exactly the countries you mentioned, Steve, that is in Scandinavian countries, particularly Sweden and so forth, where you have, I mean, in Sweden, 70% of the workforce is in unions as against the tiny percent in America today. And these unions are collectively organized so that it's sort of like one big AFL-CIO. There's one large union uniting blue-collar and white-collar workers. So there's a really strong collective way in which workers can speak, you know, their mind and sort of assert power against sort of abusive corporate authority.
So the question then is there anything we can do? I mean, because you're saying that so many of these problems are structural. I mean, if we live in a society that has these big inequalities, and then we have certain people, maybe politicians, who play up those differences, what can we do?
The whole thrust of our book, that to adjust to a society driven by these power inequalities and the kind of violence and power abuse that we see in our larger culture, and that I think sort of accounts for the popularity of somebody like Trump. I mean, there's a lot of critique of him because of his bullying, just as there is anti-bullying culture in the schools and so forth, I mean, programs to try to reduce it. But he's gotten an enormous amount of popular support in certain segments of the population because those people have been exposed to all of these institutional, cultural, macro societal forces that, you know, encourage these values and these behaviors. So the answer to your question, what do? You need to deal with creating social kind of movements and organizations that can contest the kind of extreme power inequality, the problem of inequality, and the problem of violence that has been normalized in our society and in our culture.
Charles Derber is the co-author, along with Yael McGrath, of Bully Nation: How the American Establishment Creates a Bullying Society. Derber spoke with Steve Paulson.